Hope you've at least thought about what you might be Christmas shopping for. Means you'd be a step ahead of me, but I won't get back into that again. That's why I rely on Christmas gift cards all the time. That's why I'm such a poor gift giver. But net neutrality, the FCC decided to give a gift to some people. It's not the general public, in my opinion. Today, they voted 3-2 to overturn the Obama-era rules of, I guess, just net neutrality. Here to explain it a little bit better of how it might impact you than better than what I could is Brandon Manwald. He is with us in studio. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You've been a very vocal, opponent to these rule changes. So explain first what net neutrality is and how it would impact why you've been opposed to these changes.
Sure. Net neutrality is the rules or the theory that all traffic on the internet should be created or should be treated the same when it comes to how you get it from your broadband provider. So as an example, when you're downloading stuff from the internet, whether you're watching Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, your internet connection should treat that traffic the same. It shouldn't favor one product over a different product, depending on the whims of the people you buy your internet access from. Essentially, the idea of net neutrality has been around since the very dawn of the internet. It's been kind of the way the internet has unofficially worked for the longest of times. But we started noticing after the year 2000 that things started to change. People started to, the commercial nature of the internet meant there were incentives for some people to monkey with those rules and to favor some traffic over others or to block some traffic entirely. And so that's where the rules that we've had over the last several years, including 2015, came from. And that's why I believe that now that we're going to repeal these rules, we're going to be going back to a time before 2015 where a lot of these actions can occur all over again.
So basically, to simplify it for me, is the rules, the net neutrality rules, basically put into, like, not law, but it codified what was already the intent of being done, right?
Correct. So when the internet was first created, the people who created it, it was created by our government as part of a research project. But then educational institutes kind of picked up the ball and ran with it.
I thought Al Gore.
Yeah, he helped Congress and they helped fund some of it. But at the end of the day, yeah, they basically assumed that the network, it would just be a network of computers that could talk to each other. They never envisioned a middleman getting in the way. Now, at some point in time, we basically said that private companies could be selling us that internet access, which worked out well. It worked out well for a lot of other industries that we had. So there's nothing wrong with that entire process. But at the same time, they always generally treated it fairly just due to the fact that they were happy to be selling internet access. They already had cable and pipes in the ground. So for them, making extra money off their existing infrastructure was wonderful. But now we live in a world where that's no longer necessarily just the case. AT&T owns DirecTV. Comcast owns NBC Universal. Verizon owns Yahoo. And so these are no longer just your mom and pop internet shops. They're now giant multimedia conglomerates, and they have a very vested interest in promoting their own properties over the properties of other people. And we might start seeing that here real soon, unfortunately.
So I guess let's start with why you're an expert in this. Explain what you do.
Sure. I started a company called Simply Made Apps. We started our company in 2011 in the basement of my garage right here, or in the basement of my house right here in South Fargo. What I sell is an online product. It's online software. And so we build apps and we build computer programs and we build an internet service. I'm a web developer by trade. So when I talk about this, it's because this is my business. This is what I do for a living. This is all that I do. As an example of a problem that had happened before 2015, Google had a product called Google Wallet, and it was one of the pioneers for doing processing payments on your phone. It was blocked by Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and it was blocked because those three companies were working on their own competitor. And the 2015 rules that we've just repealed today would stop people from doing that. So if Verizon, that has a business unit, decided they wanted to block my app, then they'd put me out of business tomorrow. I'd have to lay off all my people and go home. Now, hopefully, I'm a small enough fish in North Dakota that they're not going to come for me. But the only thing that would stop them from blocking my app and putting me out of business were the rules that just got repealed today.
So then that's what I wanted to get to is this has a direct impact on small businesses and startups is, I think, the biggest fear factor. And when you look at North Dakota, and I've said this before, we have egg, we have oil. Those have been the two major pillars as far as our economy. We're trying to get that third one really going, which is technology and things like what you do. That third pillar, if you will. That's what Governor Doug Burgum's, his background's in that. That's what he would like to do. I don't understand how changing these rules would help North Dakota's third rail, I guess, when it comes to the economy growth.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely doesn't. So I work, my office is in downtown Fargo, and you can't swing a dead cat without hitting another software company located within a couple of blocks of me. And it's wonderful. We all know each other. We're friends. We're in very competitive businesses. So some of us build in ag software. CoSchedule is a good example of somebody who is in an incredibly competitive market. If any of their competitors or any of my competitors wanted to pay a broadband provider to slow my traffic and speed theirs, the only thing that the rules now will say they have to do is just disclose it. So all they have to do is disclose to the customers that, hey, we're slowing down Netflix by 40%, or hey, we're favoring our video program over theirs. Well, that's cold comfort to the people who are trying to build these things. And another good example would be Netflix. Netflix is a very large company now. But before, when they were just starting out, the question is, could they have gotten the traction they did in online video if the ISPs, also in online video, would have had a say in how to deliver their traffic when they first began? That's a very dangerous road.
Many of the individuals that have been supporting this move, one of them is North Dakota's Congressman Kevin Cramer. He released a statement today, just a little while ago, saying, today the FCC restores internet freedom by bringing back the light touch regulatory framework created by Congress and the Clinton administration that has allowed the internet to boom over the past two decades. Your response?
Yeah, you know, the current rules that we had over the last 2 years since the 2015 open internet orders, they have been light touch regulation rules as well. Most of the things in Title II that make people like Congressman Kevin Cramer scared are things that have never, ever been used. So was Title II overkill or was it more than we needed? Sure it was, but it was because Congress has been unable to pass a new regulatory framework to put this thing on. In fact, they have barely even tried. So if the congressman would like to solve this problem permanently, then what we need to do is we need to have Congress step up to the plate and pass a new regulatory framework to put the internet on that has no throttling, no blocking, no paid prioritization, and it needs to be flexible enough to accommodate the future. Now, Kevin Cramer happens to be sitting on the Internet and Technology Subcommittee. That's his bailiwick. So if we want to solve this problem permanently instead of ping-ponging it back and forth, then his committee needs to step up to the plate.
Well, that is one way, is going through Congress. And I did not know that. That was one of the assignments of Congressman Cramer.
It's so his only subcommittee.
Well, so he could, but I have very little faith in Congress getting anything done. Mm-hmm. So the other would be through the courts. Have you heard, is there going to be lawsuits against the FCC on this? What have you heard on that?
Yeah, in fact, the way forward right now, being this rule has happened in this vote today, the way forward, the first thing we're going to do is go to Congress. So they have the Congressional Review Act. That allows Congress for 60 days to be able to overturn this regulatory move. It only requires a simple majority in the House or the Senate. So for the next 60 days, that's the first thing that everyone will try. If that fails, then the next step would be the courts. And there are already several groups that are saying they're going to mount a legal challenge, mostly because the FCC can't just change rules willy-nilly. They have to be able to prove that there's a reason, a valid reason why they're changing the rules, some competitive reason or something of that nature. And a lot of the reasoning that Chairman Pai has based his ruling on so far is incredibly suspect or based on numbers that are frankly kind of cooked.
Well, and I've heard the cooked numbers, but when you just ask the general public, so basically what I want to go is you just said there's a 60-day window, Congress can act.
Yep.
Polling that I've seen has showed that once people actually understand this rule, which is very complex because you have both sides trying to take credit or claim what the end outcome is going to be.
Right.
What have you seen? I mean, I've seen overwhelming support for the rule.
Yes.
As it was.
Yes. Just this week, the University of Maryland produced a poll that showed 83% of all Americans favored net neutrality. That was after they were shown both sides of this argument, the side made by the chairman as well as the side made by the consumer groups. Of those 83%, even amongst Republicans, four out of every five Republicans support keeping the net neutrality rules we just lost. So the people are overwhelmingly on this side. And so if Congress listens to their constituents and not where the donor money comes from, then really the CRA should be a slam dunk. Now, I don't know if I believe that it will be or not either, of course, for the same reason. But we have used the CRA recently. In fact, Congress used it just this spring in order to overturn the privacy rules for internet ISPs.
So, prediction, does this change uphold, or do we have to start all over again in a year or two?
I really hope the CRA, I really hope that the Congress steps up and stops this so that we can actually have a debate and actually talk about what we need to do for the internet long term. If that doesn't happen, then I predict that the courts will get involved and there will be a lawsuit and it will take a long period of time. I won't predict how the courts will land, but we do know that if the Democrats take back the White House at some point in the future, then the balance of the FCC will again change, the three Democrats and two Republicans, and we'll be right back into changing this thing back. And so we're going to keep going back and forth with regulatory uncertainty until Congress ultimately solves this problem.
Well, and that's the regulatory uncertainty is what we hear during the campaigns all the time of this is what prevents job growth, job creation, new business startups. Well, here we are and we're seeing they've been players in it. So the way forward is Congress to act, but as we've seen Congress over the last decade, two decades, that's not something that we could just rely on. So
yeah, there's a lot of not getting anything done. So fingers crossed that the courts then, once this case makes it that far, will intervene and make the FCC prove that there is an actual reason why this has to change beyond the reasons they've stated, which again, I don't feel are really will hold up to much scrutiny.
I can't let you go before I ask about the initiated measure on Sunday openings. How's it going?
Sure, we're doing well. We have almost 100 people who've taken the pledge online at our website, which I'll plug real quick, is ndopenonsundays.com. It's not too late to go and take the pledge and try to help gather some signatures during the Christmas holiday. I know I'll be taking my petition down to my family and getting a few more signatures during that period of time. We'll see how that goes. We'll be sending out envelopes in a couple of weeks to get those petitions back from all the people who've gotten some and taken the pledge. And then we'll plan our spring from there. But so far, so good.
It's fantastic. Brandon, I always appreciate you coming in. You're always so knowledgeable about the topic, especially when it comes to net neutrality. That's been ongoing, frustrating what the results were today, but it's not over yet.
No, it's not over yet. So this is just round one.
All right. Appreciate the time today. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Tyler.
Brandon Maedewald, he is with, Sunday Opens?
Andy Open on Sundays.
Andy Open on Sundays. I'm going to get that right one of these times. Also a small business owner who is directly impacted by the decision of the FCC on net neutrality. We'll get your take at 237-594.